Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Yuma, Daf Pei Bay is 82. We are behind 181, when Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. We're in the bottom of the Amud. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. What we do, L'zecha Nishmas Lo is also Lupin. The Gemara is taking us through a discussion and basically taking nearly a Daf to answer a question, one simple question, and that is, where's the law in the Torah of not eating? The Gemara noted in the very beginning of the discussion, back on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, that it's challenging. It's challenging for the Torah to write, don't eat on Yom Kippur. What makes that so challenging? So the Gemara noted, because if the Torah just simply said, don't eat on Yom Kippur, lo socha b'yom ha-kippurim, or some formulation like that, so that's going to be very difficult, because that's going to mean don't eat a kazayis. And that's not what the Torah wants to get us to. The Torah wants to get us to the point where the Torah says, don't eat a kosevis, something which provides yishuv hadas. So how is the Torah going to do that? So the Torah could say, what the Torah does end up saying is, v'nisa matznav shoseichem. You have to afflict yourself, and you can provide for yourself yishuv hadas. But if the Torah wanted to write it in a form of a law, how would the Torah do it? So the Gemara struggled yesterday. The Gemara really struggled to figure it out a way. Lo se'une, don't afflict yourself. But the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that means, don't afflict yourself means eat on Yom Kippur. So it's just challenging. The Gemara did, to be fair and honest, the Gemara did come up with one method of where the Torah could have written it. But the Gemara ends off by saying kasha. The whole thing is difficult. Fine. So, facts on the ground. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says don't eat on Yom Kippur. So now we know the general rule is there's no punishment that comes in the Torah without a warning. There first has to be an azara, and then there's an onish, and it doesn't work any other way. So, question on the table, where's the azara? Where does the Torah tell us that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? And if there is no azara, then there can't be an onish. Ein mazir, ein onish, ela im kein mazirin. That you can only punish only if there's an azara. So where is it? So that was that's a simple question. It's a very straightforward question. And it takes the Gemara approximately a daf to answer that question. Not to repeat the Gemara, but just to quickly review. So the Gemara said, well, maybe it could be based on Gzera Shava between Malacha and Inui. Meaning we know that the Torah regarding Malacha and Yom Kippur both gives us an Azara and an Onish. Meaning that the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Yom Kippur. We have Pesukim that speak to that. We have a pasuk that says that if you do malach on Yom Kippur, you're chayv kares. So good. So we have an onish, we have a zara, and we have an onish for Yom Kippur. So maybe what we'll do is we'll take the azar and onish of malacha, and we'll simply just transfer it over now to inui. Well, we know the Torah says that if you are not ma'ani yourself on Yom Kippur, so then you're going to be subject to kares. So we have the onish, and we'll just simply transfer over the azara from Malacha to Inui. This is what the Gemara suggested yesterday, and this is pretty much where we got to yesterday. So just to simply pick up from where we left off yesterday, I'm Amar Ravina. We are about six lines from the bottom of the Amud, on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Gemara over here wraps up its point. Haitana, the author of this Braisa. The Braisa was long, the Braisa started in the middle of the Amud, and then the Braisa just finished right before the words Amar Ravina. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, Haitana, etzem gamar. So the Gemara says that the Braisa is basing it on a gzera shava, using the word etzem. Etzem regarding malacha, etzem regarding inui, good. And that's how we arrive at the conclusion that the Torah tells us not to eat on Yom Kippur. Mufne, the Gemara points out, not only is it a gzera shava, it's a super gzera shava. Now, that's not exactly what the word mufne means, but in our context, it's fine. It's a good pshat. Meaning that the words that are used to link the two ideas together are superfluous words, creating a strong bond between the two, and this is what's called mufne. Yilav mufne ikal mifrach b'kidabarchinan. So the Gemara says, because if had it not been mufne, had it not been a super gzeres shava, so then you could challenge based on the challenges that we saw back in the Braisa. And they were, and the Braisa told us the challenges. I can't learn malacha from Inui because, quite frankly, Inui is a one-time event. There's no Inui on any other day of the year, Minat Torah. So I can't learn malacha from Inui, and I can't go the other way as well. I can't learn out Inui from malacha. Because malacha, there are exceptions to malachas. I'm allowed to do certain malachas in Yom Kippur, notably, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, or Rashi pointed out yesterday, the Avoda. So I can't learn Inui from malacha, and I can't learn malacha from Inui. Therefore, where am I? Gzereshava, and not just Gzereshava, but super Gzereshava. La'ay, the Gemara says, yes, you're right. Ifnui mufne. So, and now the Gemara is going to spell it out. Where do we see, how do I know that it's mufne? That the psukim are unnecessary. The words etzem and etzem. Because chamisha kriksiv, it says, bimlacha. When it comes to the malacha, the Torah says on five different occasions that you're not allowed to do malacha in Yom Kippur. Rashi says four of them, arba lavim v'karasecha b'achrei mos. So you go to achrei mos, you go to the main psukim that deal with Yom Kippur, Perek Tzayin. That's what we've been spending most of our time in Yuma studying, those psukim. And Perek Ach Basor. And then you go to... the Parshas Pinchas, the Musafim, and once again, the Torah repeats that you're not allowed to do Malacha and Yom Kippur. Now, five mentions that you're not allowed to do Malacha and Yom Kippur, what are we going to do with five? So, Chad La'azar D'Yamama, Chad La'azar D'Laila, so one tells us that you're not allowed to do Malacha during the day, one tells us that you're not allowed to do Malacha at night, Chad La'onish D'Yamama, Chad La'onish D'Laila, one, it tells us a punishment during the day, the other one's a punishment during the night. Yes, I do find it interesting that separately limudim are needed for the night of Yom Kippur and the day of Yom Kippur. Meaning, generally, I would have said, it's one day that only requires one pasuk, so to say. I don't know why here the Gemara needs a separate pasuk for the day and a separate pasuk for the night, but whatever, the Gemara does. And that now, so that takes care of four references. Now that we have four of them taken care of, the chalaf nuye lemigmar inui mimalacha ben yamama ben delaila, and now we have a fifth. And what's the fifth one coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that there's another azara. Well, we have all the malacha covered, both for the day and the night. We have all the onish covered for both the day and the night. So now we have an extra azara. So what are we going to do with it? Imein or inyan, if we can't apply it to malacha, we'll simply apply it to inui. Okay. So that was a long way to answer a simple question, but the question needs answering. Where's the azhara for not eating on Yom Kippur? So right now the answer is Gzeira Shava, where we're going to basically make a connection between Malacha and Inui. We have an extra word by Malacha. We're going to use that extra word to create a Gzeira Shava, link it to Inui, and basically transfer the azhara that we have by Malacha over to Inui. Okay, that is all but one approach in terms of how to answer the question. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Nemar Kaninu v'Nemar Lahalan Inui Malahalan Lahana Shalim Kain Hizer Avkan Lahana Shalim Kain Hizer. Okay, so the Gemara quotes say Tan Debei Rabbi Shmuel, where basically it comes out to be the same. It's not the same. Nemar Kan Inui v'Nemar Lahalan Inui. We have the word Inui mentioned on two occasions. Now one is by Yom Kippur. Where's the other Inui mentioned? So Rashi points out, Parshas Kiseitse, Al Davar Asher Ina Es Eshes Re'ehu, a man who is Ma'ana, the wife of his neighbor. So adultery. So the Gemara says that just like over there, there's an Azara, so too over here, there's an Azara as well. So, okay. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Yalav Shabbos Shabbos Omei Shabbos Breishis. So the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov has another limud, which is Shabbos Shabbos Son from Shabbos Breishis. Malahalan Lo Anashalim Kein Hizer Avkan Lo Anashalim Kein Hizer. The connection between Yom Kippur and Shabbos, we actually talked about this on day one of the Masechta, that the two are connected, and just like by Shabbos there's a Azara, so too by Yom Kippur there's an Azara as well. Rav Papa Amar Hu Gufei Shabbos Ikre Dichsiv Tishpasu Shabbos Chem. And the Gemara gives another explanation. We don't need a Gzeira Shava. Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos. So since Yom Kippur itself is referred to as Shabbos, it has Shabbos-like quality, which means that there's an Azara. There's a built-in Azara to the day of Yom Kippur, and you're not allowed to, you must stop and not do Malacha. Okay. Rav Papa Amalamak, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So the Gemara says now, as far as the Amoraim are concerned, meaning... The Gemara doesn't even discuss the Brises. The Brises are the Brises, meaning they all, each one of them have their own opinion in terms of how we know that there's an Azara not to eat on Yom Kippur. The first Brise we saw on the previous Amud yesterday, we went over yesterday. The second Brise of Tan Debei Rav Yishmael, fine. Those are the Brises. But then after the Brises, what do we have? We have Amoraim, who take a position on this issue. We have Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, which says that we learn it out from the Shabbos Brachos, and then we had Rav Papa, who says that no, Yom Kippur itself is referred to as Shabbos. So now the Gemara points out, why don't these two Amoraim agree with one another? Well, look, as far as Rav Papa is concerned, he feels he has a better drasha, because he found a drasha self-contained in the topic of Yom Kippur. But why doesn't Rav Acha bar Yaakov agree with Rav Papa? Because look, I already have taken the pasuk and used the pasuk. And what have I used it for? I might have thought that I should start fasting on the 9th. The Torah does mention the 9th day of Tishrei. No. You wait until the evening, meaning the fast starts on the night of the 10th. What we thought. So Iber of Yachol Mishitach Shach. So how about when it starts getting dark, meaning nightfall? Okay, exactly when that is always a bit of a mystery. But let's just say, for the purposes of our discussion, let's just simply say sunset. Although that's not totally precise, but that's fine. Tamalamer Betisha. Nope, you got to start fasting on the 9th day. So in other words, somewhere on the edge of Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur actually begins, so you got to start fasting. HaKetzad, Matzcha Matanim Ibod Yom. You start fasting a couple of minutes prior. Now the Gemara doesn't say how many, that's not the point. I mean, it's important, but that's not the point. The point is, you have to start a little bit prior to the actual day of Yom Kippur. Mikan Shemostifa Michol Al HaKodesh. So that means that you have to add on Michol Al HaKodesh. This is what we call Tosefes. Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So Ve'en Li Ala B'chnis HaSov Yitziyah. So Minayin. How about on the other end? Right? During Ne'ilah. Everyone's looking at the clock. Hopefully not. And when can we eat again? So there also is a mitzvah of Tosefes. Not only in the front end of Yom Kippur, but on the back end as well. Me'erev ad erev. From evening until evening. So that means that just like there's a mitzvah Tosefes before, there's a mitzvah afterwards as well. V'ein li ala Yom Kippur minayin. Sorry. Ein li ala Yom Kippur. Shabbosos v'yamim tovim minayin. Tamalam retish besu. Ein li ala. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. The first question was Yom Tov minayin. How do I know about Yantiv? Tamalam retish besu. Ein li ala Yom Tov v'shabbosos minayin. How about Shabbos? Tamalam reshabbos chem. HaKetzad komakum shenem ha-shavos mosifin michol ala kodesh. Okay. There's a mitzvah of Tosefes. There's a mitzvah of Tosefes by Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah of Tosefes by Yantiv. There's a mitzvah also Tosefes also by Shabbos as well. Okay, good. Adkan. And because now that we use the word Shabbat Chem, so now that's exactly the point the Gemara made. So Rav Papa says, that's why I can't use... Sorry, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I can't use the drasha that Rav Papa used because I already have that. I have that pasuk spoken for already.
In general chronology, did Rav Acha live before Rav Papa?
I don't know.
If he did, you could have said he didn't think about that. You know,
right, like, right, right. And it was a clear right. In other words, and he wasn't clearly just rejecting the other drasha.
Right.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. One of the mysteries of the earth. Which I heard spoken about often, and it's definitely worth noting, is that we have generally speaking a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov, Tosefes Yom Kippurim. We should take in Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur early. We should wait a little bit after Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur for it to end. There's this mitzvah of Tosefes to add on both sides. The Rambam, this is one of the mysteries of the world. The Rambam, when he talks about the mitzvah of Tosefes, only speaks about it in the context of Yom Kippur. The Rambam does not speak about Tosefes in terms of Shabbos. In other words, the Rambam does not at all speak about the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Good. So and why is that such a mystery? So A, it's a mystery because the Gemara here says that just like this Tosefes Yom Kippur, there's also Tosefes Shabbos. So that's one reason why the Rambam is mysterious in terms of not discussing the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. And the other mystery that contributes to this enigma is that the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Brachos. We saw the Gemara in Brachos. It was also, I think it was also mentioned in Pesachim, where the Gemara says that you can make Kiddush early on Friday afternoon. In other words, like a lot like what we do in the summertime. So in the summertime, so we daven early and we make Kiddush early. And what's the assumption? Well, when we make Kiddush, we're being motzif ala Shabbos. We're adding to Shabbos. We're just simply extending Shabbos on the front end, much like the Gemara here says that we're supposed to do. So in essence, what we're doing is we're making Kiddush and we're adding to Shabbos. The Rambam says, if you want to make Kiddush early on Friday afternoon, you could do so. So it only makes the riddle stronger, because now the Rambam never mentions anything about Tosefa Shabbos, and meanwhile the Rambam says that you make Kiddush early. So, okay, and I've heard a number of discussions in terms of how this works according to the Rambam. It's something worth noting. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Vitana de etzem hay betish lachodesh my avid lay. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara now is just going to try to make the puzzle work. Well, let's go back to the Tana of etzem etzem, meaning that was the first braisa that addressed this issue. How do I know that there's an Isser in the Torah not to eat on Yom Kippur? How do I know that there's a lav? So the first approach, not the Rav Acha bar Yaakov approach, not the Rav Papa approach, not the Tana de Rav Yishmael approach, it's a mouthful, but rather the first braisa learned it from etzem etzem, the Gzeir Shava approach. So hi b'tish l'chodesh my avilei. So what does he do with tish l'chodesh? Meaning, what does he do with it? He doesn't need that. Those psukim. So me by lelicha d'nichia by Rav Midifti d'nichia by Rav Midifti. So the Gemara says we're going to have another drasha with those psukim, and the drasha is v'inisim es nafsho sechem b'tisha. You afflict yourself on the ninth day of Tishrei. Ninth day of Tishrei. How are you going to afflict yourself? V'chi b'tisha matanim v'alo b'asur matanim. What are you talking about? The fast is on the tenth day, not the ninth day. Elo mecha kol ha'ocha v'shosa b'chi'i ma'ala alavakasav ki ilu itana chi'i v'asiri. No, there's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth day of Tishrei. And if you eat on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's ki'ilu, it's as if you will be fasting on the ninth day and on the tenth day. Okay? In fact, Rashi points out, kol ha'ocha v'shosa v'hachi mashmakra. V'initha b'tisha klamer hitkin atzmecha b'tisha. Meaning the affliction on the ninth day is a form of preparation for the tenth day. So on the tenth day, we're going to be involved in Inui. On the ninth day, that's preparation for Inui. So it's almost as if hachana for Inui is like Inui. That's pretty much how Rashi formulates it. Rashi says, "Shetuchal itanot basara umidafke krabalash an inui lamachahare ki ilu mitanu betisha." And by you preparing on the ninth day for the fast on the tenth day, it's ki ilu. It's as if you fasted on the ninth day as well. I mean, you have Yom Kippur on your mind on the ninth day of Tishrei. Ochel ochlen she'en ruuyin laachila. Okay, what did we learn back in the Mishnah? On Yom Kippur, you're violating Yom Kippur if you eat food. What if I don't eat food? What if I eat something that really is not terribly edible? Or if I drink something that's not so drinkable? So the Mishnah says you're putter. As we pointed out, putter means, not that we're endorsing it, but you're not going to be liable. You won't be chayv karban chatas if you eat these kinds of foods or drinks on Yom Kippur. If you chew on pilpule, now we say pilpule is generally pepper. I don't think it's pepper over here. Whatever, some very hard vegetable that is not digestible. So if you chew on Yom Kippur, you'll be potter. Kazangbala biyamatikipur potter. If you chew on zangbala we generally say is ginger. So you chew on ginger on Yom Kippur, you're going to be potter. And again, and it'll be clear in just a moment. The Gemara is not endorsing chewing on these hard vegetables. But just simply that you're going to be exempt from bringing karban chatos. So the Gemara quotes a drasha by Rebbe Meir, and the drasha says regarding Parshas Kedoshim. This is the mitzvah of Arla, the iser of Arla, the fruit that grows in the tree 3 years for the first 3 years after the tree was planted. All fruit that grows is going to be prohibited. The fruit is called Arla. The fruit is not only Aser Ba'achila, the fruit is also Aser Ba'hana'a. This is the Aser of Arla. The Torah says, Va'arla sem arla so es piryo. So good. So the fruit. Now, any Odesh eats ma'achalhu. So what? And then the Torah says, oh, by the way, you know the tree's producing fruit. Of course the tree's producing fruit. Otherwise, why are we having a discussion about fruit? Elamatam alamra eats ma'achal, eats shetam eitzo piryo shava. So the Gemara says, we're looking for a tree where the tree and the fruit basically taste the same. So Avi Omer Zeh Pilpilin, and this is a reference to Pilpilin. So I need a better English translation. I don't have a good one. Whatever the case is, it's a very hard fruit or vegetable. That truth of the matter is that hardly digestible. Olam dechasha pilpilin chayavim ba'arla. And pilpilin is going to be chayiv in the midst of arla. Even though it tastes more or less like the tree does, and it's really not that edible, but the Braisa says it's subject to arla. And ein Eretz Yisrael chasra klum. Shenema lo sechsa kol ba. And Eretz Yisrael, you should know, is missing nothing. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you will be lacking in nothing. So, fine. What's the problem? The problem is very simple. If a fruit is subject to the Isser of Arla, that means it's an edible fruit. Even if it's not super edible, but it's edible. So how can we say, how can the Gemara have just said a moment ago, that if you eat pilpilin and Yom Kippur, you're not chayiv. You didn't violate v'nisim es nafsho seichem. Meanwhile, in the world of Arla, it's subject to the rules of Arla. Now, Arla only applies to the fruit. Arla does not apply to the branch or anything that's inedible. That's the problem. The Gemara gives a very simple solution. The Gemara says we're talking about wet pilpilin versus dry pilpilin. When it's wet, retivta, so it's edible. When it's dry, it's not edible. When discussing arla, we're discussing the wet pilpilin, the moist pilpilin. When discussing Yom Kippur and the Ptur, we're talking the dry. Good. Amalei Rav Lemarei Marv Amar Rav Nachman Ahayim Ilta Daasei Mibe Hinduye. So you have the Himalse that comes from the Indians. Now the Himalse, Rashi says, is it's honey with crushed spices inside. Okay, and it comes from Hindu. Now I will say this: Rashi does confuse me a little bit. Rashi says, you know where Hindu is? Eretz Kush. Generally speaking, we assume Kush is to be Ethiopia. That's the other end of the East, right? We thought that India was in the Far East. Rashi puts it all the way in Eastern Africa. Okay, that's it's interesting. It's a little bit strange.
Skin complexion,
right? Could be. It could be. Right. The there is a Gemara in Megillah that comes to my mind. The Gemara in Megillah, Darshan's in Megillah. The it says regarding Achashverosh that he was Molech Mehodu Viat Kush. So, what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara Miguel actually has a debate exactly what that means. Whether Hodu and Kush are the two ends of the earth, right? Again, back in those times, right? Civilization was basically the East. It was just simply the Far East or the Near East. So that's one possibility. Or the Gemara over there says possibly Hodu and Kush are just immediately next to one another. Okay. Anyway, that's... But in the meantime, however, far away from the point we are, let's come back to the Gemara. So the honey mixed in with the ground spices is motor. And you make a bracha of bar pri adama because you're eating the ground spices. And now you're eating the ground spices again, edible. So the Gemara says yes, they are when they're moist and they're saturated with liquid. So then they're edible. When they're dried up, they're not edible. If I eat leaves on Yom Kippur, so you're potter, it's not a food, it's not edible, it's not digestible. Lulave gefanim chayev. So we would probably call this heart of palm, or something along those lines. We're eating the shoots of the palm tree. Okay? Heart of palm is not a bad guess. I don't know if I'm right, but it's not a bad guess. So Elohim Lulavi Gafanim, and these are the Lulavi Gafanim, Amar Rav Yitzhak, Migdala Kol Shelilavlo, Mirosh Hashanah Ve'ad Yom Kippur. Now you gotta get them when they're soft. Because if you don't get them when they're soft, meaning once they harden, so then they're not edible and obviously you're not gonna be liable. So when exactly are they soft? So the Gemara puts it just at the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Saras Yimei Tshuva. Meaning at that point, and it has nothing to do with Aseret Mechuvah, it just happens to be that that's the time when they are super soft. So Rav Kahana Amar Kol Shoshim Yom, and Rav Kahana says, no, the first 30 days prior to Yom Kippur, even though we're going back earlier, still they are considered soft enough where they're edible and digestible. Tanya Kavah said to Rabbi Yitzhak Magdala, Acha Alekinim, or Kanim, I should say, Pater V'lulavi Gafanim Chayev, Elohim L'lavi Gafanim, Kol Shaliv Lavo, Merosh Hashanah Ve'ayam Kippurim. Good, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, only during that very small window of opportunity, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, only then the shoots of the palm tree are so soft, they're edible, they're digestible. Those are when, you, if you eat them on Yom Kippur, you'd be chayev. So the Gemara says, now if you drink fish brine on Yom Kippur, you're going to be potter. So the Gemara says, what about vinegar? Vinegar, aren't you going to be chayv? Masi samani Rebbe. Ditani Rebbe Omer chometz meishiv nefesh. So it sounds like from the mission that if you drink vinegar, you're going to be chayv. And the Gemara says, yes, that's exactly what Rebbe's position was. That if you drink vinegar, you're going to be chayv because chometz meishiv es nefesh. It brings you back. It resuscitates you. Darsh Rav Gidol Bar Menashe mi bira denara shein halacha k'Rebbe. So Rav Gidol Bar Menashe gets up in front of the masses and he tells everyone the halacha is not like Rebbe. Vinegar is not edible. It's a condiment, right? Certainly, will soak things in vinegar, will pickle things in vinegar, but it itself is not edible. That's what he said, and he said it publicly. Now, when the people heard that, so what did they say to themselves? Oh, you know what the Rav said? Amazing. The Rav told us that we could drink vinegar on Yom Kippur. Now, that's not what the Rav said, but that's what they heard. And Nafke, Kuleyama, everyone went out. Mazgiv Shasu Chala, and Yom Kippur, it was a drinking fest on Yom Kippur, and they all brought their vinegar to shul, and they and in the middle, right in the middle of Mosaf, right, they were losing it. They took a swig of vinegar, and it was like a big party, so the Gemara says the Kuleyama Mazgiv Shasu Chala, they all drank vinegar. Shamar of Gidol ve'ikbed, Sir of Gidol got angry. Amar Amar Damri Ana Dievet Lechatchila Mi Amri. Wow, did you misunderstand me? All I meant was that if you drink vinegar b'dievet, you're not going to be chayev. I wasn't endorsing the drinking of vinegar. And Amar Damri Ani Porta. And furthermore, even when I said that you're going to have an exemption from drinking vinegar, Porta. That's only if you drink a little bit. But tuva mi amri? But I don't even know if there's an exemption if I drink a lot of vinegar. Drinking a lot of vinegar is going to really take away the edge. Emer damri anachai, mazug mi amri? And furthermore, when I talked about drinking vinegar, I talked about drinking undiluted vinegar. What was everyone doing in shul? Oh, I'm not going to drink vinegar. That's crazy. I'll mix a little bit of water in it. I'll dilute the vinegar. That's what they did with their wine. That's what they did with their vinegar. And that's what the people did. Now we're talking about vinegar, which is not undiluted vinegar, but diluted vinegar. You're basically drinking water on Yom Kippur. I meant none of that. So he was misunderstood. He was upset that he was misunderstood. Okay, now we understand him correctly. Okay, that takes us to where we need to be. Okay, the conclusion of yesterday's daf. Long discussion out of yesterday's daf in terms of where the Torah prohibits us from eating on Yom Kippur. The inisim es nafsho sechem is a positive commandment, and it's actualized by not eating, but the Torah does not say lo sochal. So again, the Torah can't say lo sochal because that would only mean a kazayas, and we want to get to the part of a we want to get to the point of koseves. That's why the Torah says v'inisim. The Torah, how do we know that the Torah prohibits eating on Yom Kippur? Where's the Azar in the Torah? So that was most of yesterday's daf. From the Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph all the way to about the two dots on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara addresses that question. There are basically four approaches to that question. The Tana of Etzem Etzem, the Tana Rebbe, Debei Rebbe Yishmael, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, and Rav Papa. Four approaches to that question. Then, as a side, we learned also the idea, big daf, yesterday's daf was huge. We learned the idea of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Kippurim, Tosefes Yom Tov, both on the front end and on the back end. Right? I mentioned the mystery of the Rambam. The Rambam does not mention Tosefes Shabbos, one of the mysteries of the Rambam. We also learned in yesterday's daf, huge, huge daf. We also learned the idea that you're supposed to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Tisha B'Av. Eating on Erev Tisha B'Av is tantamount. Did I say Tisha B'Av? Yes, I did. The eating on Erev Yom Kippur is tantamount to fasting both on the 9th and on the 10th day of Tishrei. And then finally, one final discussion regarding eating non-edible foods, non-digestible foods, which the Gemara says you're potter. But as the Gemara pointed out at the very end, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat them. It just simply means that you'll be exempt if you eat non-digestible vegetables on Yom Kippur. Ad kan. Okay, that's yesterday's daf. Now we begin today's daf. We're on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. We're going to be discussing two big issues over the course of today's daf. One big issue is the issue of chinuch. When do you get your children to start fasting in preparation for when they become a gadol? Issue number two coming up in today's daf is going to be, what if a woman who is in a very tenuous situation and her life is being threatened? So at what point exactly can she eat on Yom Kippur? That's going to be the second big discussion coming up in today's daf. We are chock full of information here in the eighth parak of Yuma. First things first, the mitzvah of chinuch. So let's first go over that which I'm sure we all know. A boy, when he's bar mitzvah, is now a gadol. He's an adult. He's a Jewish adult bound by all the mitzvahs in the Torah. A girl at the point of her bas mitzvah is also going to be an adult bound by all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? A somewhat more complete discussion over here in terms of when a child becomes a bar mitzvah, when he becomes actually obligated. So there are two things that really manifest his obligation. One is going to be shanim, the years, meaning he has to actually complete 13 years on this earth, and two is going to be godless, so shtei saros, physical maturity, having actual simanim that indicate that he's mature. That is for a boy, and the same thing is true for a girl. The only difference between a boy and a girl is that a boy achieves bar mitzvah by shanim by 13 years of age, and a girl is by 12 years of age. I'm sure we all knew that. Those are the ground rules. Okay. We also know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah of chinuch, that we have an obligation to be mechanich. We got to train our children to be able to perform mitzvahs, so that when they arrive at 13, prior to 13, they're not obligated mitzvahs. But you can only imagine, you get to 13 years of age and you haven't practiced a mitzvah in your lifetime, so you get to 13 and all of a sudden, what is going on over here? There's a lot going on. So if you train them prior to 13 years of age, so then you're good to go. Then you're going to be, then by when the boy arrives at 13 and when the girl arrives at 12, so then you are, then they're going to be used to and familiar with the mitzvos. The Mishnah over here is going to be discussing, when it comes to fasting on Yom Kippur, at what point would be the appropriate age of training them. So the Mishnah is not totally clear, and the truth of the matter is that the Gemara is going to really make us even more confused. But the Mishnah is short, and it's right to the point. Hatinok is ein ma'ananosam b'yom ha-kippurim. Little children don't get involved with their inui, meaning don't have them afflict themselves on Yom Kippur. They don't have to stop eating food. We did point out a couple of days ago, do you remember? They shouldn't wear leather shoes.
They shouldn't what?
They shouldn't wear leather shoes. Right? We said a couple of days ago in the daf. And we had a discussion, why leather shoes as opposed to not bathing. But in general, in terms of eating and drinking, don't force them to fast on Yom Kippur, the little children. Aval mechanchen osan lifnei shanav lifnei shnasayim. A year, 2 years prior to their bar bas mitzvah, so get them into the habit. Bishvil shiyu regilim b'mitzvah, so that they are accustomed to mitzvahs. So the Mishnah, yes. So Phil wants to know which word are you focusing on? Osan. Right. So look at the first word of the Mishnah. Tinokos.
That's feminine.
It's feminine also. Right. The Mishnah here is talking about girls, but who did the same thing would be true for boys as well. Okay. Tosus Hashanim now. No, let's wait a moment. Let's do the Tosus Hashanim in a moment. Hashta bifnei shtayim mechanchen lo bifnei shanam ibaye. Right, you can only imagine this was going to be the first question in the Gemara. Right, the Mishnah is usually more precise in its speech. The Mishnah is going to tell us about a year or 2 years prior to Yom Kippur, you start getting to fast. Well, what do you mean? If 2 years they're fasting before Yom Kippur, so the year before Yom Kippur, the year before they become a gadol, for sure they're going to fast. And what does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah gives kind of a loose definition of a year or two? Well, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Chista lo kasha abechola babar." So Rav Chista gives a very simple answer, a very straightforward answer, and Rav Chista basically says, "Look, you feel the kid is strong, you feel your kid can handle it. 2 years prior to his bar mitzvah, 2 years prior to her bas mitzvah, get them to start fasting. And if they're chola." In this case, chola means they're weaker, they don't have as much strength, and you see that it's not going to work, so then don't push them 2 years ahead of time, just push them 1 year ahead of time. That is one approach. It's a simple approach. It's a straightforward approach. That's the approach of Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to give us now another approach. Ben Chesu Ben Tes Mechan Chanosan L'Shaus. Ben Yudu Ben Yud Aleph Mashlimim Mizrabanan. Ben Yud Beis Mashlimim Mid'Araisa. So the way Rav Huna now is going to approach our Mishnah, it's going to go like this. Now we're going to talk from the perspective of the girl, and the reason why is because our Mishnah spoke from the perspective of a girl. But who had done the same thing would be true with a boy, will just simply move everything a year ahead. Okay. But for a girl, 8 and 9 years of age, in other words, we're basically going to look at 4 years of her life prior to her bas mitzvah. Her bas mitzvah occurs at 12, meaning when she is 12 years of age and Yom Kippur hits, obviously she has an obligation and a Torah to fast. But we are now talking now about the years of her 8th and 9th year of her life, and we're going to speak about her 10th and 11th year of her life. In the 8th and 9th year of her life, so mechanchin osan l'shaos. So what you do is basically a couple hours in, meaning they're used to eating, let's say, at 8 a.m., right, 9 a.m. So push them off a little bit. How about you don't eat until 10 a.m. or 11 a.m.? In other words, just get them into the habit. Now, it's interesting, the night of Yom Kippur, they just had a big meal. Like the Gemara is assuming that's not even up for discussion. Or Rashi is assuming that's not even up for discussion. But in other words, but basically, the morning of Yom Kippur, get them to fast a couple hours. Just get them trained with the idea that Yom Kippur, we're not going to be eating. That would be for their 8th and 9th year. And then, for the 10th and the 11th year, Mashlimim Midrabanan. Mashlimim means a complete fast. Midrabanan. Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimim Midaraisa. Bitinokis. And then at 12 years of age, obviously now there's a mitzvah Daraisa to fast. That is if it's a girl. Now what if it's a boy? That's Rav Nachman. Now it's interesting because the way the Gemara formulates this, it's like Rav Nachman's arguing with Rav Huna, and he's not. Rashi says he's not. It's just simply he's giving us the contrasting viewpoint of what if it were a boy. So Rav Nachman Amar Ben Tes Ben Yud Mechanchen Osam L'Shaos. So again, for a boy who develops later, who matures later, and not, the girl is more precocious. The girl develops at an early age. So for a boy, everything just moves ahead 1 year. So for Shaos, it would be 9 and 10 years of age. Ben Yudaf Ben Yud Beis Mashlimim Midrabanan. And 11 and 12, he would be fasting midrabanan for those 2 years. And ben yud gimel mashlimim midaraisa betinok. And then at the age of 13, he'd be fasting now minatora for a tinok. Okay. And all this, by the way, I hope everyone's following. All this is an explanation of the Mishnah, meaning when the Mishnah says that mechanchin osam lifnei shana v'lifnei shnasayim, a year and 2 years, so now basically what Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is doing is he's explaining what the Mishnah means. Now, how does this work in the Mishnah? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi explains, Amar Rav Huna ben Shmona, Lebarisha Avra Shmona v'nechnesles l'teisha v'tinokos k'demesayim ilse da'ave shans teisha arba shana l'fnei pirka. So in other words, Rashi establishes that we're talking about a girl, and we're talking now 4 years prior to the bas mitzvah. Ben teisha l'chola sha'avra shana teisha v'nechnesles toch aser da'ino gimel shana l'fnei pirka mechachnen l'shanos. So now that's what the 2 and the 1 mean. If they're strong, start them 4 years prior to the bas mitzvah. And if they're weaker, start them 3 years prior to the bas mitzvah. But the idea is that there are basically going to be 2 stages. 1 stage of shaos, where they're going to be fasting for just a couple of hours. And then there's going to be another stage of actual hashlama, getting them ready to have a full fast prior to Yom Kippur. Okay. That is the opinion of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And they're not arguing. Rav Yochanan Amar, Hashlama D'Rabbanan Leikam. So Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says, no, mid Rabbanan, there's no need for a child to go through the entire fast prior to Yom Kippur. But Ben Yud, Ben Chanchan Osan L'Shaos, Ben Yud Beis, Mashlimim Midaraisa, 10, 11 years of age, Shaos, couple of hours, and then 12 years of age, so again, for a girl, a full fast, Minatora. Okay, so, really, what's at the core issue over here, between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman on one side, and Rav Yochanan on the other side, is whether there's this idea of fasting a full fast prior to your bar or bas mitzvah. According to Rav Huna and according to Rav Nachman, you should be fasting a year prior to Yom Kippur, prior to your bar and bas mitzvah, a full fast as a form of chinuch. And according to Rav Yochanan, no. The year before your bar bas mitzvah, sha'os. How many years? So if you're strong, 2 years. If you're weaker, 1 year. But in other words, that's it. And then when you hit the bar bas mitzvah, then and only then, for the first time, you'll be fasting a full fast. Good.
How come Rav Huna and Rav Nachman argue about Yochanan? Like, they're in a different generation in there.
They're one generation later.
Right.
Okay. But they're in the period. But they're in the period of the Amoraim. I don't know that. I mean, we've seen it, but and Rav Yochanan is generally more authoritative, generally. But okay, Tanan. Now let's see who seems more correct from the standpoint of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Atinokos ein ma'ana samiyama kippur mava mechan chanoso lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim." Our Mishnah talks about chinuch either a year or two prior. Now, Bishlam alarev huna rav nachman lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim lifnei shana l'divrayim v'lifnei shtayim l'divrayim. Now, according to Rav Huna rav Nachman, you know, I think I got it. Meaning, our Mishnah is talking about chinuch prior to a point. What's the point? Well, the point would be prior to their first time fasting midrabanan. Meaning what the Mishnah is telling us is that before you go through the full dress rehearsal of fasting the entire day of Yom Kippur, which will be obviously before your bar mitzvah, before your bat mitzvah, so the year prior to that or 2 years prior to that, depending on whether you're sick or you're healthy, so you know what you should be doing? Chinuch. And by chinuch we mean stopping a couple of hours on Yom Kippur. Ela Rav Yochanan Kasha, but according to Rav Yochanan, it does seem to be difficult because according to Rav Yochanan, what are we doing prior to the point? Meaning, from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, there's no dress rehearsal, there's no fasting on Yom Kippur or Midrabanan. You're going from Shaul straight to fasting Midaraisa. Amalcha Rav Yochanan, Maishanu Shtayim Samach Lepirkan. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, that doesn't bother me. You know what the Pesha and the Mishnah is? A year or 2 years prior to Pirkan. The point would be when they get when they're an adult. That's all the Mishnah means. And that's the chinuch mentioned in the Mishnah. And in the chinuch, we're talking about a couple hours. Tashma didni rabba bar shmol tinokos ein ma'anasam yama kippur mava mechan chanos oshana oshtayim samach lepirkan. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Braisa says that you don't afflict them on Yom Kippur. Meaning they're not going to go through a dress rehearsal fasting the entirety of Yom Kippur prior to the bar bas mitzvah. But you train him a little bit. Now, Bisham l'Rav Yochanan Nicha. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, perfect. Because that's exactly what Rav Yochanan says. You train him a little bit. El l'Rav Huna l'Rav Nachman Kasha. But according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Nachman, it's difficult. Am l'cha Rabbanan. My chinuch nami diktani hashlama. Well, you know what chinuch means? A chinuch can mean hashlama. Meaning that there are two forms of chinuch. There's the chinuch of the let's get comfortable with the idea of fasting. That's one level of chinuch, which is a couple hours extra than what you normally would have waited a couple hours before you eat. And then, chinuch could also mean fasting the full day of Yom Kippur prior to your bar and bas mitzvah. Umikar l'chinuch hashlama, the Gemara says, now is that considered chinuch? V'atanya, in other words, is that given the name chinuch? V'atanya is the chinuch, hayaragal echol b'shtei shalos machinos al shalosh, b'shalos machinos al ba'arba. Here the Braisa describes chinuch as being wait an hour. Amar Rava Barula, Trei Chinuch Ha'ava. So Rava Barula says, okay, there are two forms of chinuch. Meaning, you're right, in the context of this Braisa, chinuch means wait an hour. But chinuch can also mean the year prior to your bar bas mitzvah, go through a full fast, a full hashlama. Okay.
Chinuch because you don't have to fast.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I'm gonna speak about that very briefly. Okay, that was a short amount of Gemara, a short Mishnah, a short amount of Gemara, and quite frankly, it was a little bit messy. Because essentially what the Mishnah is trying to communicate to us is that a year or 2 years prior to the Bar Mas Mitzvah, get him into the idea of fasting. Now, but what exactly does that mean? So then the floodgates open. Meaning first we have the opinion of Rav Chista, who says that the year or two is just simply a discussion of healthy versus weak, strong versus weak. And then we had Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and once then Rav Yochanan on the other side. And basically, just to quickly summarize and give a synopsis, the basic issue is there an idea that the year before you become Bar Bas Mitzvah, the Yom Kippur, the last Yom Kippur you are as a minor, are you going to go through a full fast? Rav Huna and Rav Nachman say, yes, you are. And Rav Yochanan says, no, you're not. Rav Yochanan says that the only thing you're going to have is chinuch. And chinuch in this context means just... A short trial period of not eating an hour more than what you're normally used to eating. You're normally eating at 10 a.m., push it off to 11 a.m. But according to Rav Yochanan, there is no hashlama, midrabanan. You don't have a full dress rehearsal of fasting the year prior to your to Yom Kippur. Okay. So, and both of them are going to have to figure out what the Pshat is in the Mishnah. The Gemara goes through both of them. Okay, but that's, in other words, even though the Mishnah seems to have been clear, or somewhat clear, the Gemara really turns into a basic machlokas between the Amoraim, in terms of what the Mishnah means. Okay. Generally speaking, by the way, we are makel on this topic, meaning we go more like Rav Huna and Rav Chista than we, and Rav Nachman than we do like Rav Yochanan, which we... No, other way, right, other, thank you, other way around. We go more like Rav Yochanan, and then we go like Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Okay. I mean, certainly if they want to try, you don't have to stop them, but okay, there's no compulsion. There is a very interesting topic of discussion over here. In the Tosfos Yeshanim, I'll just quickly lay out some of the points over here. It's a great discussion. The Im Tomar, okay. In Tosfos Yeshanim, I know it's not good for the eyes. It's the first one on the Samud. In my Gemara, it's three lines down after the lines get wide. V'im Tomar, Handam Rina Becholduch Aduch They Karn Ochel Neveh Same Basim Mitzuvin LaHafri Show. So the Gemara says, you see a Karn eating Nevela, okay. A child is a child, and he's eating non kosher food. So there's no requirement to take him to strip him away of that kosher food, that non kosher food. He's a child; he's not obligated in mitzvos. Okay, let him eat. So hasha chenuchim and chanchen efrushim yisur mivaye. So Tosfos Yeshanim asks a classic question: there's a mitzvah of chinuch. What's going on over here? There's a mitzvah of chinuch. So how can you tell me that we don't strip him away of the non kosher food? What's going on? So the om. Okay, so I'll give you Tosis's answer to this question. So first thing he quotes is the Shitas HaYireim, right? Rav Elazar Mimitz was a student of Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaYireim. So Rav Elazar Mimitz is known more popularly as the Yireim.
Is just one person who wrote Sefer HaYireim?
To my knowledge, okay.
Plural, though,
yeah, I understand. But so Lo Shayach Ela Shiase Mitzvah. Sorry, I missed the key word. Dechinuch lo shayach elo shiyase mitzvah velo for perushe meisura. Fascinating answer by the Yireim. The mitzvah of chinuch is only on the positive commandments, but there's no mitzvah of chinuch on the yisurim. So, in other words, for lulav, for shofar, so there's a mitzvah of chinuch. For tefillin, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. But for any of the lavim, any of the yisurim, there's no mitzvah of chinuch. And then, brilliantly, he points out, what about not eating on Yom Kippur? Which has been our discussion for the last 20 minutes of today. Isn't that an Isser? So now we go back to yesterday's daf. No, it's not. Oh, I really found this to be brilliant. But the mitzvah of Inu and Yom Kippur is a positive commandment, not a negative prohibition. So yes, it does mean that you have to stop eating, but categorically it's a mitzvah's essay, it's a positive commandment, not a negative prohibition, and that's why we're having a conversation of chinuch when it comes to the mitzvah of Inui. Okay, good. That's Rav Elazar Mimitz. which is fascinating. And the mitzvah of chinuch is only on positive commandments. He quotes another answer, another resolution to this problem. Rabbi Omer, de chinuch lo shaykh Rabbi, meaning Tosos Yishanim is quoting one of his rebbeim. So it's one of the Balei Tosos. Obviously, I don't know who it is, but de chinuch lo shaykh ela be'av. The mitzvah of chinuch is only on the father. Ava ba'adam acher lo shaykh be'chinuch. But not on anybody else. So you know, the that's not right. You ever over here? I have. I think I've even said it. Right? God forbid. It's a good thing this is not being taped. So the you ever hear one say, "Oh, that's not my kid. Why do I need to worry?" Right? And you think that's very callous. That's, you know, you shouldn't say that. You should be worried about everyone's kid. So according to the second answer in Tosfos Yeshanim, it may not be such a bad argument.
What about Kolisram Aravim?
Okay, that's correct. But Kolisram Aravim Zebazeh is usually generally people who are obligated in mitzvahs. Here, the child is not obligated in mitzvahs.
But they have the potential to.
Agreed. No disagreement. So, Hilkach Nami Ein Nizharin Lehafrisho. Okay, so then there's no obligation to separate him from the mitzvah. Another possible explanation. So again, we have a mitzvah of chinuch on one side. We have the general rule of ein bezin mitzufin lahafri mechayvin lahafri show. You don't have to separate him from Mister. So one answer is quoted in the name of the Urayim is the difference between positive and negative prohibitions. Positive commandments, there's a mitzvah of chinuch. Negative prohibitions, let him go. That's one possibility. Or another possibility is the distinction between a parent versus anybody else. A parent has a mitzvah to separate him from Mister. Anybody else, let him go. Leave him be. Not my kid. Okay. And this is just the beginning of a discussion. Again, you hear enough shiurim. You hear this is a very popular discussion amongst the world of in the world of shiurim. But this is certainly the beginning of the discussion. Okay. Ubra sheheiricha. Let's start. We go to the next mishnah. We'll begin the next mishnah. I have a woman who's pregnant, and she smells something on Yom Kippur, which creates a craving. And it really creates a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress in the woman. So you feed her. Now it's interesting, and I'll point this out, and I'm not going to discuss this in any kind of detail, but are we worried about her or are we worried about the fetus? Right. The primary concern is her and not the fetus. And it's not, and I'm not trying to be callous, although I was just a moment ago regarding the he's not my kid, but I'm not trying to be callous. But halachically speaking, the primary concern is regarding the mother. The fetus inside of her is a concern, but a secondary concern to that of the mother. The OBGYN told me right. I don't remember which child it was, but it was very interesting. I don't know if I should be quoting him by name, but he said to me, my primary concern is a woman. He says, the baby, that's the pediatrician. Right, that's the pediatrician's concern. But my primary concern is a woman. That's my primary concern. So the halacha, in other words, when the Gemara is talking about the ubra, she's pregnant, but I'm telling you, though, from the standpoint of halacha, the primary concern is a mother. Right. Now, in terms of diagnosis and knowing that she is in critical condition, so the Mishnah says you go to the Bikim. Now, the Rambam writes, and I'm sure you could have seen this coming, the Rambam says Bikim in the Mishnah is a reference to whom? Doctors. You get doctors' opinions. The main Sham Bikim, now it's interesting, by the way, it does say experts, meaning you could make the argument that the Mishnah wants two opinions, but that may not be a correct reading of the Mishnah. Now, if there are no doctors, then she feels like she's in danger. So, you don't hesitate. You feed her until she says, "I'm good, I'm comfortable." Let's do a little bit more for today, and then we will get right to the point of pikuach nefesh. And then tomorrow we'll start with the Koruch Nechash. Tanu Rabbanan. Uber Sheiricha Basar Kodesh or Basar Chazir. A woman who's pregnant, who smelled either Basar Kodesh, which she's not allowed to eat, nobody's allowed to eat, unless it's a shlamin, but let's assume it's a carbonola, or Basar Chazir, the animal of pig, right? Tochvin la kush berotev umenichen la alpia. So basically what we try to do is we try to introduce her a little bit to the food to try to assuage her and basically make her feel like comfortable. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, if she's good, fine. But if not, so then give her some of the juice. And if that's not good, give her the actual shuman, give her the fat. Because her life is in jeopardy, and when it comes to any Isser in the Torah, no Isser in the Torah, although we're going to qualify, and we will do that tomorrow, no Isser in the Torah is going to stand in the way of a person's life. A person's life is paramount, and even at the expense of Isserim in the Torah, the person's life is going to take precedence, and so therefore, take care of her. I'll do it tomorrow. No, because this goes into this starts the next discussion.